council as we go through the message. Tonight's message is titled A Journey of Love, and this is our second weekend journeying together intentionally towards Christmas. These weeks leading up to Christmas are a time for us to really allow ourselves to become expectant and excited about what God has for us this year. The time to let the Lord renew our hope and to renew our joy and renew our peace and renew our love, which we're going to talk about tonight. More than 2,000 years ago, that star appeared in the sky, and that was a beacon and a guide in order to bring people to the Messiah, to bring people to Jesus. And God used that star to lead people, and we're using the star as a symbol to kind of lead us through these messages during this Advent season to help us focus our minds and our hearts on Jesus Christ, not his birth. It's the love of God that draws us to the Savior, his love and grace and his kindness. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, "Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself." God's love is special. God's love is the brightest love. God's love is a love that never, ever gives up. It never fails. God's love is a love that conquered sin and death. It's an active love. It's a love that surrounds us in the midst of the daily ups and downs of our day and through the hard times it carries us through. It's a love that is perfect, that can't be made any better than it already is. And it's a love that is really embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's that love that draws us to the Savior. So as we continue on this journey to Christmas, I want to ask a few questions. Just a show of hands, how many of you are done with Christmas decorating? Anybody? Okay. Anybody done with Christmas shopping? Sarah? Yeah. Good. Okay. Anybody who maybe hasn't started decorating yet? Anybody want to be honest with you? Not a lot. How about shopping? Anybody started? Is there anybody who wants to skip all the shopping and decorating and go right to Christmas dinner? We do monkey bread, which is awesome. Yeah, you need that. My wife's monkey bread is really good. Wherever you stand on the whole Christmas decorating and shopping and spending money on all that, I want to give you a number that may blow your mind a little bit. Americans spend a lot of money on Christmas. Last year, from November of 2016 to the end of the year, to the beginning of 2017, any guesses on how much Americans spend on Christmas? How much? A couple billion? That's a good guess. It's a whole lot more than that.
Is it 5 billion?
$1 trillion. $1 trillion. Yeah. $1 trillion on our decorating and gifts and everything. Here's another number that's mind-blowing. It's not as much, but it really is. It's pretty amazing. Okay, $60 billion. Does anybody care to guess what the significance of $60 billion is? There?
Turkeys.
That's a good guess. That's not what I was thinking of. That's a good guess, too. $60 billion is how much Americans spent on their pets last year. $60 billion. Which makes me wonder why. Now, I love animals. We have a couple outdoor cats that I love, and I love dogs. No matter what my wife will tell you. I do. I love animals. But we do a lot. You know, we do a lot for animals. We clean up after them, and we pay vet bills, and we apologize to our neighbor when our dog bites their dog, and then we have to pay their vet bills. We've been there. You know, for everything that we do for our pets, for animals, you would think maybe our animals would buy us something if they could for Christmas. But we spend a lot of money and we spend a lot of love and kindness taking care of our animals just because we love them. They can't really do anything at all to earn that from us. There's really nothing they do to make us desire that other than just the love that we have for them. And as I thought about that, that's a little bit like God's love for us. I don't want you to take that too far. I want you to go home and say, Pastor James said, the cattle of us, like cattle of my dog. That's not what I'm saying. There's a little bit of similarity, but that's it. There's not a lot. It's not an exact comparison. But I want to ask you a few questions, just considering God's love for you. How do you perceive God's love for you? Do you think that you need to earn God's love? Or that you even can? Do you think you can earn God's love in some way? Have you ever maybe heard a lot about God's love with a message, but then you go away from it, and just somewhere in your heart, you just think, that's okay for the world, and God loves the world, but I'm really not very worthy. I just don't feel like I can be loved. And maybe you've struggled with that. Do you feel or see evidence of the overflow of God's love in your life when you interact with other people? Do you see times where you know that the supernatural love of God that goes beyond human love is working for you and overflowing in other people's lives? Well, this evening we're going to consider the love of God. It's a love that compelled him to come into this world. It's a love that compelled him in the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago to come here. And we're going to discover, though, that this love has been present for a long time. This love has been present since before the creation of our world. And it's a love that is more than enough. And it's a love that is meant to overflow out of your life and into other people's lives. So our first takeaway for tonight, if you want to fill in the blank in your bulletin, God has always loved you. God has always loved you. I love this expression. Love came down at Christmas. You maybe have heard that before. I think that's wonderful. That's a great way of putting that. God invaded our world as a baby. It's a really cool thing. But we'd be mistaken if we thought God's love wasn't present before that. That was the culmination of God's love. That was the supreme moment of God's love. But God's love was always here with us since the beginning of creation, the history of our world, and the history spelled out in the Word of God. The story of the Word of God is the story of God's love since the beginning. It's always been there. It's always been His plan because of love to redeem us and to redeem this world and bring us into relationship with Him. I want us to recognize that God's love for you has been around a long time. And the first passage we're going to look at is Psalm 139. Starting in verse 13, you're welcome to look this up if you want. We'll have it on the screen, right? Probably completely in your way. Scoot around me, or Bo should be the move when you need me to. Psalm 139, this is the New Living Translation, which I like the words over here. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed." The Apostle Paul wrote something similar in Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6. He wrote, "For he chose us in him, those who are in Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy." It means to be set apart, to be different than all of the rest of God's creation, to be set apart for him, to be blameless in his sight, in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, in Jesus Christ. You read passages like that in the Bible, and it's obvious. You know, well, of course, God's love cannot depend on us. There's nothing you could do to deserve the love of God, because God loved us before there wasn't us. God loved us before we could do anything, to deserve or not deserve any of it. God's love starts with God. God's love starts with God. God's love is sustained and continues because of God. And God's love can't end, but if it ever could end, it would end with God, not with us. It is the very nature and character of God to love. The Bible tells us that God is love. His love has been there since before time began, and his love will continue. continue forever. It can be a hard concept to grasp when we're stuck in this world of time and space, but as we pursue knowing Christ more, as we pursue this journey of love with Him, I just want to encourage you to know based on the authority of Scripture that God's love for us exists beyond all constraints of time, beyond all constraints of space, beyond all of our limited ability to even understand what that means fully, that He loves us. I think in this world, until we go into the glory with Him, we're never going to fully comprehend how amazing, how incredible the love of God is. Here's our second takeaway for tonight. God's love is more than enough. God's love is more than enough. I know that's true, but there's times it's tough. You know, you look at the world we live in, and there is so much brokenness, and there's so much pain. And you wonder sometimes, you know, is God's love enough to cover all of this? There's so much evil and violence and hatred out there. So much just selfishness among people whose lives are all about themselves. You just think, you know, is God's love enough? Is it so great to cover all the sin and darkness of this world? And then sometimes maybe even just wondering for yourself, just personally. You know, we know our mess. We know the mistakes we've made. We know the sin. You know, how we just work to be free of whatever forever and then go back. We've all been there. And there's those moments that maybe we have where we think, well, they already forgave us once. I mean, is his love big enough to keep forgiving? Is it big enough to keep loving me in the midst of my mess? I think we're honest that there's moments when all of us wrestle with those questions. We wonder about that. We struggle with the reality of God's love in our life. What that really means beyond a biblical concept. Part of it is that God's love is so different than our love. You know, our love is frail, often. Our love is selfish sometimes. The love that we experience in relationship with other people, or the lack of love that we experience in relationship with other people, we bring all that sometimes to our perception of God's love. But I just want to remind all of us of some good news tonight, that again, God's love is not based on your ability ever to earn it or even understand it, or whether you feel worthy or unworthy, or whether you think that it's for you or not. God's love is so bigger and beyond all of those things. It is phenomenal news. Sometimes the older I get, the more I just want to break down my understanding of life in general and my walk with the Lord to really simple things. And I love these three words. And I'm just going to say it for you instead of for me. But three awesome words. God, creator and sustainer of the whole universe. God loves you. We lose sight of that sometimes. God loves you. It's not just for today. Some of us have been in some pretty messed up relationships where somebody said they loved you for a long time and then they decided to change their mind. Maybe they think they want to go love somebody else. Even fathers and mothers who said, I love you, and then acted in ways that did not at all seem very loving to us. Sometimes inflicting a lot of damage that's hard to get over and hard to heal from. But beyond all that, God loves you. He does. He loves you. His love for you is more than enough. God's love for us is pure. He doesn't have any hidden motive. There's no agenda with God. And you wonder sometimes with people. God just loves you because He loves you. Because of who He is. There's no agenda there. God loves you perfectly. Even if you were all that, you couldn't have today. It's already perfect. He's already got a perfect love for you. An eternal love for you. It's complete. It is lavish. There's nothing you can do to earn points with him regarding his love for you. And he pours it out. And he pours it out no matter how unworthy you feel of it. He keeps on loving us. And his love is more than enough. I think about the Christmas story in Scripture in the Bible. And you look at these people and I read it enough. I've read it so many times that sometimes you can kind of gloss over it and read through quickly. But there's this really young couple who are scared probably and are humble. This young engaged couple, and then you've got these smelly shepherds that don't have any education and no respect for people in the community. And you've got these weird foreign mystic guys who come along, you know, seeking the Savior. You've got all these people wanting to come and meet Jesus. And when I read that, I really think about what Scripture's saying and who these people are. I think these guys would have a hard time getting a role in a Christmas pageant down the street. You know, I mean, we probably wouldn't cast most of these people to be in our reproduction of the story. But God loved them, and he gave them the honor of being there early on in the story of Jesus, God with us in this world. And then I wonder, where would I fit in? Where would you fit in that Christmas story? Where do we see that we fit into the story now? The story of God's redemption coming into this world in the person of Jesus. I just want to encourage you, I know we're all in different places with the Lord, but wherever you are tonight, wherever your mind is racing to, whatever's going on in your heart, so hold on to the reality that God loves you. He loves you. And his love is so much more vast and bigger than any doubts you have about it. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'll finally maybe kind of get it. Just how awesome the love of God is for me. I think maybe the Apostle Paul had this in mind a little bit in Ephesians 3, starting in verse 17. I want to share this with you. He said, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." I read that. It's like, man, that sounds like he's describing Mount Everest. I mean, this is massive. This is an amazing love. I mean, you think you're going to walk up to Mount Everest and have some doubts or some feelings that are going to make it go away? Probably not. You can doubt it all you want. It's a big mountain and it's there to stay. That's God's love for you. That's God's love. His love is more than enough if we'll receive it. If we'll receive it. I think about the struggles of the people of Israel in Scripture. And you know, we talked last week about the promise of the Messiah, and they had to wait thousands of years for the birth of Jesus. And there must have been so many times that they just thought, where's God's love? Where's God's faithfulness? And they grew, I'm sure, weary, and they had doubts. And they have uncertainty, but all along the way, you look at the story of Scripture, no matter how weak their faith was, and no matter how many mistakes they made, God was always faithful. God was always drawing them back to himself. God always loved them enough to do that, no matter how much they messed up. There's nothing you can do to shake the love of God for you. There's nothing that can tear you away from the love of God. It will never fail us. In Romans, Paul gives a description of God's love that I think is really worth holding on to, especially in times of struggle. This is one of my favorite passages, and I just, for whatever reason, wrestling in my spirit, I love to read this. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." You get it? No matter what you're facing. No matter what you're facing. His love is more than enough. It's sufficient. Our third takeaway for tonight is that God's love overflows. God's love. anybody have family come to visit for Christmas? They're going to go be family come for somebody for Christmas? Siblings or parents or cousins or aunts or uncles or anything? Is it possible that after a few days, or maybe one or two, they get ready for them to go? I mean, you love them, but maybe they push the wrong buttons or something? This is one of the most important things I want you to hear tonight. Really, lay hold of in your heart. It is the very nature of God's love, of His unending and unlimited love, that it cannot be contained. It cannot. It is not God's intention that you can contain His love. The Bible tells us to love others, including people who are very unlovable, like us. Sometimes that's not too tough for some people. Sometimes really, really, very, a very hard, challenging thing. You know, getting back to our house, yes, sometimes it's the people closest to you that just know how to push the button that you don't want to push, but that just those patterns that are built up, it just wears on your patience. And sometimes people that we love a lot know how to bring out some of the weakest parts of ourselves that we don't want to come out. Sometimes there's memories of deep pain that gets brought to the surface with certain people who we haven't seen in a while. On a very practical level, this journey of Advent, this journey of love for Jesus, is about letting His love fill you to overflowing during this Christmas season, and letting it flow out into the lives of other people around you. It's not something that we can do in our flesh, but it's something that the very source of love, that God can do through us, if we let Him do that. I want to share this from the Living Bible. This is a paraphrase of Peter's description of that. This is from 1 Peter 1:22. It says, "Now you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trusted Christ to save you. So see to it that you really do love each other warmly with all your hearts." It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. And it doesn't mean that God even expects you to try hard. That's not what He's saying. It's not about you mustering up some love for the people in your life. It's about you experiencing God's love for you at such a reality, such a depth, that it just naturally flows over into the lives of the people around you. That's what God wants for us. As we come to the last part of the message tonight, I'd like for us to read together. I'm going to sit down so you can see around me. But it's kind of a longer reading. But something I'd like us to read together. This is from 1 John, starting in chapter 4, verse 7. But I'm going to sit back here so you can see this. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day
In this world, you're like Jesus. There is no beauty in love. The perfect love cries out fear, because fear has to be the punishment. One who fears does not make perfect in love. We love because he first loved us.
Yes, I I'll make it quick. There's a few just quick takeaways I want to point out here. First of all, God is love. God is love. He sent his son as the perfect atoning sacrifice for us. He did that for love. He did it for what he wouldn't do for any other reason other than his love. Jesus is the embodiment of God's love from start to finish. The next point is that we can know and rely on God's love. We can know and rely on God's love. God's love is enough to cover your yesterday, whatever that was, whatever you need forgiven of, whatever you need healed of. God's love is more than enough to cover your yesterdays. It is more than enough. His love, his grace is sufficient for you today. Whatever you're dealing with, his love is enough. And whatever you're going to face tomorrow, that you're worried about, his love is enough. He's got you. He loves you. And we love God because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. God's love really is supernatural. It really is. It's not about religion. It's not about even nice or good. It goes beyond that. God's love is sacrificial, selfless love is what he wants to be pouring into us in such capacity. He's so generous. I don't know how big your heart is. Does anybody have any idea how many gallons? Not a gallon? Okay. Well, so say you got a, let's say you've got a huge heart, you know, like, so you've got a gallon heart. I mean, God wants to give you so much more than a gallon. That's just going to naturally overflow into the lives of other people. And that's truly the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And I want to encourage all of us to dwell on that, to really think on it. Think about the scriptures that we shared tonight and meditate on those things. Meditate on what God is saying to you about his love for you and his word. And let the truth of God's word just wash over you. Take that in, personalize it, and understand that God wants to refresh you with that truth of his surpassing love for you. And let it change you. Let God's love change you. Be intentional to walk it. God's love goes way beyond words. I'm sure, and nothing's come to mind about hearing God's being merciful, but I'm sure there's a lot of times in my talk as love with somebody that it wasn't necessarily, you know, I was talking Christianese, and Christians talk love. Right? God's love is so much more than that. It's so much more than our words. It is so much more than our ideas and our thoughts about it. It's so much more than our feelings. Even though because of his love, we feel accepted by him, we should. But his love is greater than all of that. It's not about just those things. God's love is also about action. God's love is also about truth. We celebrate Jesus coming into the world. Jesus is God's love in action. It's God's love, not just sitting around talking about it or thinking about it theologically. It's God's love put into action through Jesus Christ. You know, he took our sin upon himself out of love. He went to that cross and paid that price for us out of love. He redeemed us out of love. And that was all action. That's all things that he did. And he calls us to go beyond talking about love and thinking about love. Doing love in people's lives around us, letting his love overflow letting other people experience the love of God through us. 1 John 3:16 tells us, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. I think, I mean, the obvious wording there talks about laying down our life, and maybe it does mean you take a bullet for somebody and save their life, lay down their life, literally. But I think even more than that, it means giving up everything for the sake of others. Life is just representative of all of your life, of everything you are and everything you do. If we're going to wrap up, I just want to throw this out there because you need to hear this, and this is really critical as we talk about the love of God. God provides all good things, including his love to us. He offers it freely, but we have to choose it. We have to choose it. It's still there, whether you do or not. You know, the mountain's there, whether you draw near the mountain or not. It's still there. You have to choose his love. I want to share this with you as I thought about this. Here's God's invitation, really. I mean, just to rubber meet the road, you know, we're talking about love and you want to maybe have an action step. What do I do with this? I want to experience God's love overflowing. How's that going to happen? And I think this is what Scripture is telling us, is to leave yourself behind. Leave yourself behind. Leave it, your old self. Believe what God's Word says, that he wants you to be renewed. By the renewing of your mind, he wants you to have a new heart. He wants you to have new life in him. He has an identity for you. So believe the word of God. And as you do that, trust the Lord and receive that love that he has for you. You know, his invitation is to leave pride and to leave guilt and to leave shame and to leave the endless pursuit of trying to make yourself happy. To leave behind your success. To leave behind your ambition. To leave behind your plans and goals, and to believe that he's got something better for you. To come to him in submission and humility before the Lord and believe that he's got better plans for you than you have for you. And then to receive what he has for you, to receive his love and hope and joy and peace and his purpose for your life, his identity that he has for you, and the power to overcome sin in your life that he has for you. The invitation from the Lord is leave your will. You can receive mine. It's freely given. There's nothing you can do to earn it. I like the metaphor of maybe just a table. Just imagine this with me for a minute. Imagine that everybody else isn't here and you're by yourself. And there's a nice white folding table like the ones in the dining area there in front of you. And Jesus is on the other side of that table for you, okay? And he wants to give you everything. He wants to give you a hope and a future and meaning and purpose and power and forgiveness and love and identity in him. He wants to give you every good gift. But he's given you free will. So you've got all these boxes. You've got the box of your dreams. You've got the box of your guilt. You've got the box of your sin and your shame. You've got the box of your pride over all your successes. You've got your box of religion. You've got your box of how you want to live out your relationships with so-and-so, whatever it may be. You've got all these boxes. It's everything of who you are, everything you've done. And God's saying, I want to fill your boxes with me. I want to fill your boxes with stuff that's so good that it'll just blow you away, that it's not going to cost you anything. Just put it all on the table. Just put all your boxes on the table so we can just dump out the mess that's you. And I can fill it up with who I really made you be. But a lot of times we don't want to do that. It's like, well, Lord, this is an easy box for me to part with, Lord. I don't particularly like this one. It's probably what's inside is really repulsive to me. You can have that. But I'm hanging on to the rest of it. He still loves you anyway. Doesn't diminish his love a bit. You can't. There's nothing you're going to do or not do that's going to diminish his love. But he wants you to experience that
fullness of his love, that fullness of his blessing, presence in your life, and you have to be willing to let him. To let him give you those things. Think of it as a plate. You've got dog food on your plate. He's inviting you to a great banquet, right? I mean, he wants your steak and lobster and everything you love. Can we just remove the dog food? But you have to reload. He's going to love you either way. But he'd really like to give you the best if you'll part with